Welcome to the Prioritizing Prevention, Translating Science to Practice podcast. Our goal is to prioritize prevention conversations that matter. Our topic for today is Building Healthier Futures, Unpacking the Youth Vaping Prevention Playbook for Ohio, with special guests, Alicia Curry and Jesse Wingert. Now here's our host, Holly Raffel.
Hello and welcome, or welcome back, to Prioritizing Prevention, Translating Science to Practice. We are in episode 8 of season 3. This podcast is hosted by the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion. My name is Holly Raffel, and I have the privilege of serving as the faculty director of the center. If you've spent any time on social media, you've probably seen ads or packaging for vapes that look more like candy than a tobacco product. It's no secret that underage use of vaping products is a huge issue. And here in Ohio and Kentucky, the numbers are particularly alarming, double the national average for high school students. The issue is getting more and more complex, with inexpensive, powerful, and easy to access disposable vapes flooding the market. But there's a new tool to help. With the support of the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and partners who serve Ohioans alongside us, the center has developed Preventing Youth Vaping, an educational playbook for Ohio, with resources for parents, schools, communities, and anyone who's interested in addressing the vaping crisis. Find out how you can get your copy on our website at preventioncoe.ohio.gov. For those of you who are listening away from your desk and are interested in seeing the data behind the narrative or accessing the playbooks, no worries. As always, check out our show notes for links. Today, we're going to share a conversation with two guests, exploring the impacts of youth vaping in their communities. First, we are honored to welcome Jesse Wingert, who is a program coordinator at Summit County Public Health in Akron, Ohio. She's worked at Summit County Public Health for 22 years and has extensive experience in tobacco prevention and control, reproductive health prevention, and with programming to reduce youth homelessness. She is a member of the Ohio Society for Public Health Educators chapter. She earned her bachelor's degree in community health education from Malone University and a master's of public health in health policy and management at Kent State. Jesse contributed to the center's Youth Vaping Prevention Echo with a presentation on Quit for Good, evidence-based resources for cessation. Welcome, Jesse. We're so glad to have you on the show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
We're also welcoming Alicia Curry to this conversation. As the operations manager for the Cincinnati Drug and Poison Information Center, she has over 28 years of experience and extensive expertise in drug information, toxicology, prevention, substance use outreach, education, research, and leadership. She holds professional certifications in toxicology prevention and serves as adjunct faculty at the University of Cincinnati College of Nursing. She also participated in the center's Youth Vaping Prevention Echo, where she served as a situation presenter and delivered a case report on adolescents using vape devices for both nicotine and cannabis. Welcome, Alicia. I know many members enjoyed that Echo session you participated in and are looking forward to extending that conversation.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the invitation. Looking forward to the conversation.
As always, remember, if you're out taking a health break, taking a walk, or listening in your vehicle as you're going to your next project site, all of the information we discuss here will be linked in our show notes. So before we dive into all the important details, we want to give our listeners a chance to get to know the person behind those amazing bios I had the privilege of reading. So I'll ask you, is there a story you can share about what your work really looks like behind the scenes, a part of what you do that you're most passionate about, or maybe even something fun that just isn't on your resume? Jesse, how about we start with you?
Yeah, every day is slightly different. I do a lot of administrative work for the grant. So we have a grant through the Ohio Department of Health. So there's a lot of different pieces parsed to it, but my absolute favorite is doing compliance checks. So working with an underage youth to send them into our different retailers to see if they sell, and really trying to reduce that availability of tobacco products here in Summit County. So that, yeah, that's one of my favorite parts of the job. So I do some other policy work and things like that, but doing that part's a lot of fun, working with the kiddos.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and access and availability is a huge component of environmental strategy. So thank you for doing that work. Alicia, how about you?
Well, I would say this is just something about me, but I actually started at the Poison Center when I was 19 and I was still in nursing school and just absolutely got taken in by toxicology and the whole idea of learning about toxicology and all the different things that surround it, and eventually got certified and, you know, graduated and all of those things. And then I realized there's also prevention out there as well. And kind of that combination of kind of the toxicology components, the clinical components of that, but then also trying to do more with prevention and preventing exposures from happening, which is actually one of the goals of the Poison Center as well. So I think that's probably my most favorite thing is talking to people about different areas, including tobacco and those products, and really trying to impress upon them the importance of the prevention aspect.
It sounds like you didn't choose toxicology. It chose you.
I think you probably could say that. Yes. Yes. I can't imagine not doing that.
As we mentioned in the intro, nicotine and cannabis vape products among Ohio youth is double the national average, about 20%. So I'm curious why you both think this is the case and what specific factors might be contributing to this trend. Jesse, what conclusions can you draw from your experience?
I think one of the big things is the fact that there's so many different products on the market. They're very visible. You walk into any, you know, convenience store or gas station, there's marketing everywhere. I think a big part of it is the flavors. So they're very attracted to youth, the packaging as well. Sometimes how they name things, but with having such a variety of flavors is right there, especially for our youth. It's easy to get their hands on, unfortunately. So I think a lot of times youth get them and then share them with their friends. So then they're using them at school. They, you know, get addicted because of the high nicotine level. So I think that's one of the biggest things is just the fact that they're so available in the marketing that is out there for them.
Alicia, what would you add from your perch?
Yeah, I completely agree with what Jesse said. I think, you know, there's also you kind of wonder why someone might turn to vaping. And I think kind of along with that, there could be a mental health or a coping factor there. You know, we know teenagers, it's not easy being a teen. And there's anxiety and there's stress and there might be trauma and things like that. And, you know, them being so easily accessible, that might be something that someone might turn to kind of help cope with some of those things that they might be going through. And so I think that's a big potential component of why they also might be reaching for these.
And Alicia, I'd like you to continue for a little minute, if you would, because you're almost 30 years of experience in substance use information prevention. What trends have you observed in youth vaping, either statewide or nationwide, that you've found we should know about?
Yeah. So, you know, kind of similar to what Jesse was saying, I mean, certainly in our area, based on the data that we've gathered, we definitely know that youth are reaching for e-cigarettes more than any other type of tobacco product. It seems to be the one that they're choosing more. And as Jesse mentioned, despite those regulations, most of them are looking for products that are those fruity flavors or those kind of sweet flavors. Even though there are regulations out there, they're still seeming to kind of get a hold of those and prefer those. And you know, I think the other part of it is just the way that these products are so discreet that you wouldn't necessarily know. I mean, they might look like a highlighter, they might look like a USB drive, or they might just be very small and compact, where parents and teachers and caregivers may not even recognize that a child or a youth has a vape. And I think that's one of the things that's it's difficult to kind of overcome. But those are the things that we're seeing most.
Oh, thank you. And Jesse, I'd like to draw on your community level experience. What are some of those ripple effects of youth vaping that you're seeing in the community?
I think a lot of it is having younger kids use them now because maybe their high school, you know, brother or sister had them or friends. So we're seeing a lot more of like younger youth starting to use them and getting them from other people. And now we are starting to see that ripple effect of now starting to use cannabis with them, where originally we didn't see that as much, but now we definitely are starting to see that just be more prominent within the community.
And Jesse, when you're in the community, what are the most common misconceptions about vaping that you see or hear from young people and their families?
Absolutely. There is the fact that they think that it's low risk. I think a lot of people now realize there's some risk, but I think they're still thinking, oh, it's still better than smoking cigarettes or, you know, using chewing tobacco or something like that. Not realizing what all chemicals and what the flavorings and all the everything that's in it, especially being the high nicotine. So I think that's a huge thing, is that they think that there's a perceived low risk to it, and thinking that it's going to be better for them.
And I wonder, Alicia, as people call the hotline, do you see other misconceptions manifest?
Yeah, I think the one that probably comes to mind the most is that some people think that vapes don't contain nicotine, that it's just a vapor, just a, you know, steam, you know, or whatever they want to call it. But I think it's one of those things where even some products can say don't contain nicotine, but there have been some studies that even products that say that still contain some or may contain some. And, you know, I think people don't necessarily, kind of echoing with what Jesse said, like people don't necessarily understand that nicotine is one of the most toxic substances out there. And, you know, it's all about the dose, right? All things are about what dose you're getting, but nicotine is highly, highly toxic. And when somebody gets too much of it, it can cause pretty serious symptoms. You know, they might have vomiting, they might be very agitated, they might feel very tired, even to the point of seizures and abnormal heart rate and blood pressure and breathing. And so there's lots of things that can happen when someone gets too much of it. And in particular with a product, if they don't think that nicotine is in it, or it says that it doesn't have nicotine and it does, or even just high amounts of nicotine in general, that's where some people can really suffer those health consequences of you know, taking in this product.
I think that's really was part of looking at developing a playbook, right? So when addressing youth vaping prevention, it's essential to understand your audience. And in the playbook, it introduces the 5 W's, who, what, when, where, and why, as things to think about before you start making your plan to address youth vaping, whether it's the youth in your own home or whether you're at a school and you have a leadership role and you're looking at the population of the school, or maybe you're part of a sports group, or maybe you're leading a club or organization. But the playbook challenges folks to answer questions like, who is at risk? What challenges are they facing? When did the problem occur? And are people vaping? Where is it happening and why? So those strategies can be developed to serve the community or even the youth in your own home in relevant and effective ways. So how can using the 5 W's, a real simple framework, to help any Ohioan effectively tackle a vaping-related issue in their own home, neighborhood, or school? Jesse, you have a lot of work at the community level. What are your thoughts?
I think the framework is a great way to start the conversation, is really thinking about, you know, tailoring it to your population of who you're speaking to, but really taking a look at what is going to start the conversation, what's going to continue the conversation, and what is actually going to get to that person. So everybody's on a different level, especially within our community. We still have a lot of those people that think that it's not harmful to us, or not realizing, like Alicia said, even the fact that it may say that there's no nicotine. So I think a lot of that is realizing where people are at and then how we can have that conversation with them by being educated and really getting that information to that person.
Alicia, from your experience, how do you think the 5 W's could be useful?
So I think that, first of all, it's just very easy to follow, I think. You know, it's that who, what, when, where, why, you know, and those are things that I think, especially when you start thinking about the different populations that you might be working with, or, you know, the people that you're working with, you know, how do you decide what to focus on? Because there's so many things that you could focus on. And I feel like the biggest thing is just going through that and answering those questions. You know, don't necessarily have to write it down or write paragraphs, but just kind of in your mind, even say, you know, who am I focusing on? You know, is it high schoolers? Is it middle schoolers? You know, and what's going on with them? Like, what are they facing? You know, maybe it's peer pressure, maybe it's stress, maybe it's whatever. And then kind of the when are the hot, like, I feel like to me, it's when are the hot spots? Like, when are they doing this? And, you know, maybe the thought might be, well, school just started. So maybe that's your when, like, kids are stressed out because they're going back to school. And then, you know, kind of where are they doing it? And then obviously the most important thing I feel like is why, you know, why is this happening? So I think if you're understanding the why, then you're, you know, and you're able to explain the why to other people, then you might get more buy-in of, you know, supporting more prevention efforts and things like that, whether it's teachers, parents, community members, things like that.
Well, thank you both. Because, you know, I was kind of coming into this thinking, well, you have to be a healthcare professional to be able to use this. But as you talk, I'm convinced that anyone can use it. You know, is that your sense or your read on the situation as well?
Absolutely. I think anybody can have the conversation. And I feel that the playbook has a lot of great information about learning and the data and knowing what vaping is. So even if you don't know a whole lot about it, it gives you that information. And then, like, with the framework, it's a great way to structure, like I said, mentioned before, and Alicia mentioned, was of who you're talking to and why, and then using that for later if you want to do advocacy or more education, things like that.
You both had mentioned marketing tactics towards youth, particularly youth-friendly flavors and sleek and easy-to-conceal designs. So how can community members and educators use the information in this playbook about the way vaping products are marketed to help youth think critically about these tactics? Jesse, what are your thoughts?
I think a lot of it is really talking about what the tobacco companies are doing or why they're doing it. I know a lot of times when we talk to our youth, we really talk about, you know, what are their marketing tactics, but then how the big tobacco is actually using them as guinea pigs, that they are, you know, so that kind of gets to them in a different way. So it's not like, you know, here's vaping, it's bad. But the tobacco company is using you as guinea pigs. They're trying out all these different flavors, seeing what type of marketing tactics can work for them, and really going from there.
Yeah, I completely agree with Jesse. I think that message may resonate, you know, and very likely can resonate with a lot of youth and parents. And I think probably coming at it because the marketing and the media and social media and all of these things are just so always on. Like, you're always hearing things, you're always seeing things, you're always experiencing things. From one of these avenues, especially as a youth or as a teen, that, you know, if you can kind of focus a lot of other messaging from a variety of places. So, you know, these prevention programs in schools and stuff, they're going to hear it in school. And then also, you know, the parents, if parents can become involved and also provide the same type of messaging. And I think the playbook in particular, you know, a parent may not really know where to even start. And I think that this is a really great resource for, again, someone who's never really thought about talking about this messaging or prevention in general, to kind of reference and get an idea of where to start and how to kind of have that conversation. But if there's multiple areas where kids can also hear similar messaging, whether it's at school or, you know, home or in the community or, you know, in sports or, you know, faith-based organizations, all of those things kind of giving them similar prevention messaging, I think that may be even more impactful.
Thank you for mentioning prevention messaging, because we talked about marketing messaging for vapes, but in prevention, we know that scare tactics generally aren't effective ways to deter youth from using vapes. And in fact, scare tactics sometimes produce the opposite effect and generate curiosity in the behavior you're actually trying to decrease. And part of that, you know, being the development of the prefrontal cortex being in process at the age that we're talking about now. So in your experience, what approaches have you found to be empowering or effective for youth vaping prevention?
in when we're talking, especially when we do our presentations with our youth. So we're working a lot of times with middle schoolers, sometimes high schoolers. But it's really just getting at what it is. So really talking about all the different chemicals and what those chemicals do to your body. So it's not necessarily using it as a scare tactic, but just more information. And really looking at, okay, if this is, you know, this specific, like take nicotine, for example, we know that it's toxic. We know that it naturally occurs in regular tobacco products, but in our vapes, it is slightly different and it's higher, you know, higher toxicity. So like Alicia mentioned, so it's really talking about what does that do to your health? So, and then again, with the, like the marketing part of that, we talk a lot about that and, what the flavorings do and how, really with the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, they've said, you know, your flavorings are okay to eat and drink, but we shouldn't be inhaling them. So it's really just talking about some of those things and really what it does to our bodies. So it just kind of gets them thinking. And a lot of times they really just, they're like, oh, this is gross. And then they're like, well, why does big tobacco do this to us? So I think a lot of times it kind of gets them, they're educated enough, and then it gets them to a point where they want to start talking to other people about it. So we're able to then, you know, use those youth as other group leaders and talk to other youth about it, spread the cessation messaging and things like that.
Alicia, have you seen particular approaches that seem to be more effective for empowering youth in the vaping space?
Yeah, so I think Jesse is exactly right. Like, you know, what she just mentioned about the youth-led types of approaches. And, you know, they don't always want to listen to, you know, an adult or, you know, someone that isn't their age or similar to their age. And, you know, I think Jesse is exactly right. Like, you know, giving them the facts, like the information, not trying to scare them, but giving them, look, this is a fact. This is what it does when you use it, or, you know, things like that. And then getting that buy-in from them, and then, you know, having them talk to each other, especially, you know, if you have a couple of youth there that are, you know, clearly passionate about it and wanting to kind of take on that leadership role amongst their group. I think they're going to listen to each other infinitely more, you know, than what they might do if someone is just lecturing them.
Oh, 100%. And the playbook, in fact, stresses that youth-led prevention messages are often more effective. And I know in my experience, because I started my career teaching ninth grade health, is that, you know, youth are tomorrow's leaders. They're leading today. They're leading right now. And I appreciate you both giving our listeners suggestions for how youth can lead the way in vaping prevention. So the playbook encourages a collective goal for all Ohioans to stop youth vaping, since prevention isn't the responsibility of professionals alone. Rather, it requires all of us to work together, including the youth, as we just discussed. So, Jesse, what's one piece of advice you have for someone who doesn't work in prevention or public health but wants to get involved and contribute to this collective goal of preventing youth vaping?
I think a lot of it is just being educated about it. Things are always changing. These products are always changing. You know, when they first came out, they looked like a cigarette. Now, like Alicia mentioned, they look like highlighters or cell phones. We're seeing a lot more of those like smart vaping devices now. So they are very much looking like other things. So just being educated about what they are, kind of watching what big tobacco does with their marketing, because it's stuff that we can see. You can go into your store and see everything. So it's just kind of even just that it's as simple as that is. And then really just, you know, helping to spread the message and knowing that there are cessation resources out there. We can do some prevention. Just having that conversation, using the framework, using those 5 W's to really talk to people. So it doesn't have to be hard. It's very simple and doesn't have to be very detailed either. So
yeah, I think the education, educating themselves on what's new and what's up and coming. I will say the one thing that you know, on the hotline that we get, there's always something new. There's always some, it's never boring, because there's always some kind of new product or, you know, a new drug or, you know, something coming out. And these types of products are no different. I would say consider volunteering. You know, there's nonprofits and health departments and community groups that I'm sure would love to have, you know, extra hands on deck and, you know, helping to support the education and the outreach and the prevention. And then certainly, you know, if you're a parent or a caregiver, you know, also having those conversations you know, at home, you know, in family time, or, you know, whatever time is appropriate for you all to kind of have that conversation with your kids at home. But yeah, consider branching out and even volunteering, and just in your own daily life, in your own daily, you know, work, modeling, you know, not using tobacco products yourself, and promoting things like, you know, mental health, wellness, and things, and other ways that people can deal with stressors and those sorts of things as well.
Thank you. And now I just want to kind of circle back to the playbook. What's one key piece of information from the playbook that you think it's important to share?
I would say that, you know, I think there were a couple of things that sort of resonated with me. I think, you know, we've talked about becoming educated, like, you know, understanding what is the current situation and what does it look like and what's out there. And I think that empowers you to then challenge the misinformation that's out there. So, you know, an example is, you know, somebody might say, well, vaping is safer than smoking, or you can't get addicted to nicotine, or other types of misinformation. And if you're educated enough about the, you know, the nicotine and what it does, then you can speak to that, and, you know, and you can kind of help with that misinformation, because I do think the misinformation is can be extensive. And that's where more people being able to talk to that is helpful. And I think the other thing we didn't really talk about yet, but is, you know, what if a youth is already using a vape, right? So, you know, talking about the helping them quit, and, you know, having resources and fostering a safe environment to kind of, if they're talking to each other, sharing stories of struggle and those sorts of things with addiction and all of that. So being able to kind of have a safe environment to say, I am using vapes, I do want to quit, and I need help, you know, letting kids and youth be able to, you be the safe space that they can come to you and say those things.
Jesse, what would you add? What's some information from the playbook that you think it's important to get out to Ohioans?
Well, I definitely echo everything Alicia said. It's definitely, you know, all those pieces. Again, using the framework to start those conversations. I think a big thing at the end of it, there is a lot of resources. So, you know, when we talk about keeping yourself educated, there are those resources there, because data is going to keep changing, you know, these different devices. So having those links, just even those type of resources, is great. I know, you know, we mentioned cessation and quitting. So we have a lot of free resources here in Ohio. So I'm not sure about Kentucky, but I know at least here in Ohio, we have a lot of resources that are free for our young adults and adults to quit smoking and quit vaping. So even having those type of things that we can talk about and have those resources available for folks.
I really appreciate this conversation. And what I've learned from it is educating yourself, challenging misinformation, promote healthy habits, encourage help seeking. Those seem to be keys in order to be able to utilize the framework, the 5 W's, to have a plan to have those conversations, whether they're in your own home, with family members, in your circle of friends, in your place of work, or, you know, whether you're involved in other activities, sports, theater, drama, whatever it is. So I really appreciate the two of you taking the time today to share our conversation. But it's that time on the podcast where we ask our guests a few rapid flyer questions to close the conversation. And this seems to be everybody's favorite part. So keeping kind of within the lane of educating yourself and the idea of a playbook. So to educate yourself, do you prefer reading a short guide or attending a webinar? Jesse, how about you?
Oh, I'm a webinar. I like to see it. Reading is not my strong suit, so I like to see things and have somebody tell me about it.
Alicia, how about you?
Absolutely, webinar. Yep. Love all the different aspects of it, not just reading it, but as Jesse said, seeing it helps me to understand it better.
This one is a little bit more difficult. To support a healthy, vape-free Ohio, what actions do you focus on in your day-to-day? So do you focus on individual level action, like talking to your own kids or the kids in your life, or focusing on community level action, like advocating for policy changes? How about you, Alicia?
I think I would say both, because I think it's you know, and you know, I have three kids and, you know, I've had these conversations with them and our home and nieces and nephews and, you know, those sorts of things. But then, you know, also in a day-to-day work type environment, also focusing on it there as well. So I would, yeah, I would say both.
How about you, Jesse?
I'm definitely more like the day-to-day work part of that. My outside of work, I mean, people know that I can talk for hours about tobacco and vaping, but definitely like here at work is really looking at that policy change and how to, you know, do enforcement of that, things like that, and do that education.
Absolutely. Now our last question, and we ask this to all of our guests. You're reaching into that candy dish. Are you looking for a plain M&M or a peanut M&M? Jesse, how about you?
Peanut. Definitely a peanut M&M.
Alicia, how about you?
You know, for the first time in this podcast, I'm going to have to say something different than Jesse. I'm going to say plain. Plain for me.
Well, thank you so much, Alicia and Jesse, for sharing your time and your experience with us. And thank you to our listeners for joining us on the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion podcast, Prioritizing Prevention. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help support the podcast, please consider giving us a 5-star rating, sharing it with others, posting about it on social media, or setting the podcast to automatically download on your favorite channel. Doing so helps us reach more listeners and keeps the conversation going. To catch all the latest from the center, follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, X, and Facebook at OH Prevention COE, or visit us at preventioncoe.ohio.gov to sign up for our monthly newsletter. If you missed our last podcast, it was with Carrie McKee, Drug-Free Community Project Coordinator with Clark County Partners in Prevention. And this was hosted by a guest host, Leslie Hoylman. It was a great one. During this conversation, they explore the purpose and key components of the Talk They Hear You campaign, discussed how the campaign has been effectively localized and the impact it's had in Carrie's community. They also provided recommendations and resources for other communities looking to implement the campaign. This podcast was produced by Ivory Lloyd at Global Insight Productions and is supported by Zayu Zhang and Jen Morel at the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion. Thank you, because this podcast would not exist without you, and we appreciate the work you do behind the scenes to get positive prevention content out in the world.
This has been the Prioritizing Prevention podcast. For more episodes, you can visit us on Spotify, YouTube, Google Play, Apple Music, and many more. This program is funded by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. For more information about us, please visit preventioncoe.ohio.gov. Thank you for listening.